We're going to be looking at the Palm Sunday narrative this morning out of the book of Matthew. And if you're not maybe familiar with Palm Sunday is the event that kicks off Holy Week or Passion Week, as we talk about, which is where Jesus is riding into Jerusalem, where ultimately he would be tried, he would be brutally tortured, and then crucified. And we get to call it Passion Week because of the suffering that he went to. But nonetheless, when he's riding into Jerusalem, they welcome him as a hero. So jump in with me in verse 1 of Matthew 21. It says, "Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you'll find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say to them, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once.' This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'You daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burdens.' And disciples did that. And as he's entering into the city, then it says, most of the crowd would spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut off branches, laid them down, spread them on the road, and the crowds were going before him and behind him and chanting, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.' When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, 'Who is this?' And the crowd said, 'This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee.'" So Jesus has this triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and the crowds are gathering and they're excited. They've heard about this Messiah or this rabbi who had been doing some miracles, and he raised Lazarus from the dead and he's been healing the sick, and he's now coming into Jerusalem, which is at the heart of their religious movement, at the heart of their civilization. And they're excited because they're wondering, perhaps this is the Messiah that the Old Testament prophets had been talking about. And so they're shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But shockingly, what started out on Sunday as a celebration would end Friday in a crucifixion. That some of the same crowds that were shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David," are the same people that would stand and would shout, "Let him be crucified. Crucify him." And as a reader, as you're reading through this, you might be stuck wondering, what happened? What happened that could change their minds and their hearts towards Jesus so quickly that just within a few days they would go from welcoming him as a hero to now demanding that he be crucified, demanding that a criminal, a murderer, a thief would be released, and Jesus, who was innocent, would be crucified in his place? What happened? I don't know how your family is, and maybe this might just be my family, but do any of you have that, like, one family member or relative that is known for giving, like, the weirdest gifts ever? Is that just my family? You guys know what I'm talking about? Like, you get together for Christmas, or, like, they go through the pain of, like, mailing you something in the mail, and then you open it up, and you're just confused, like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this. Man, I didn't know that I needed another salt and pepper shaker set. Oh, and you went out of your way to make sure that it's little polar bears, actually. Wow, that is going to fit so well with the rest of my decor. I am so glad that I drove my family for 10 plus hours through a blizzard to come here and receive this gift that you just gave me. Anybody have a family member like that? Is this my family that's weird? Okay, all right. But you've received a weird gift before at some point in your life, and you're like, I can't wait to give this away in a white elephant exchange next year. And if you're being honest, like, in the moment, you're a little bit disappointed, right? But it's like the whole family is there, so you kind of have to act a little bit awkward, like, oh, thank you. Like, thanks so much for the gift. I'm so glad I got this. We've all had maybe that feeling before of receiving something that is not what we expected and maybe being let down a little bit by it. And if you're being honest, you've been disappointed in those moments. And maybe your family's not weird. Maybe you don't have weird friends. You receive amazing gifts. Your friends are amazing. Your family's amazing. But how about this? Have you ever had a time in your life when God didn't show up the way that you thought he would? Have you ever had a time like that in your life before? In a recent interview of Kanye West, who was a rapper, secular rapper, and in 2019, He came out and made a shocking announcement to the world that he had committed his life to Jesus. He even went on to produce a Christian album that was called Jesus is King and another one after that, and said that he had committed his life to Jesus and would be spending the rest of his life spreading the good news about Jesus. In a recent interview, he sat down with some people and he said, you know, I have my issues with Jesus because he just didn't show up for me the way that I thought he was going to. And maybe Kanye is not the best role model for us, but at least he's honest in that, in saying that if you've lived long enough, most likely you've maybe had experiences in your life where God didn't show up the way that you thought he would. Like, if Kanye is not a great example for you, then maybe what about Job in the Bible, who went through some things that happened to him and he's trying to make sense of it and just doesn't make sense to him? And what about David, who suffered loss and his own son turning on him, finding himself in a cave in hiding? And what about people like the disciples, who so many times in their lives found themselves in situations where they wrestled with God because what God was doing just didn't make sense to them? What about Paul, who had a thorn in his flesh, who prayed over and over again for God to take it away, and yet God didn't take it away? How about how he finds himself in prison so many times? And if you read the Bible, it is filled with people that have experiences in their lives where they wrestle with God because maybe God didn't show up the way that they expected for him to. So what do you do in those moments? Have you ever been there before? What do you do when God doesn't meet your expectations? What's crazy about the story in Palm Sunday and Holy Week is that Jesus is literally God in the flesh, who showed up to show them who God is, but he didn't show up the way that they expected for him to. He didn't meet the crowd's expectations, and so they ended up rejecting him. And I want to tell you this truth this morning that I've learned from my own life, is this: that my assumptions about God will keep me from knowing who God actually is. My assumptions about God and how he's supposed to be, here's what he's supposed to do, he's supposed to act this way, all the assumptions that I can sometimes make about God can keep me from knowing who he actually is. And I miss so many things in my relationship when I begin to assume who God is, when I begin to assume how he's supposed to show up, he's supposed to do this thing in my life. And like the crowd, I can be in situations where Jesus is literally standing right there in front of me in whatever I'm walking through, and I can simply miss him because of some of the assumptions that I have about how he's supposed to show up and look and act and behave. And our assumptions about God will keep us from actually knowing him and experiencing what he wants to do in our lives. And can I ask you this? Are you willing to let God be God? It sounds crazy to say, isn't it? But are you willing to let God be God and to actually show you who he is? Or like the crowd, are you coming to God with all the assumptions that you have and missing out on who he actually is? Are you willing to let God actually be God? You pray with me. Father, I know that this is out of a lot of messages that we'll hear or we'll even preach here. This is one that might challenge a lot of people, myself included in that. But God, the truth is that every time that I've experienced in my own life you challenging me or even convicting me of something in my own life, it's always done out of your love. Jesus, I thank you that your word says that you came and you were full of grace and truth. And that when you speak to us, when you convict us, when you challenge us, that oftentimes it's because of how much you love us and you want to reveal to us more of who you are. You want to deepen our relationship with you. You want to draw us even closer and deeper in our walk with you. And I just pray that that would be what would happen this morning. That as we hear these words and read this Palm Sunday narrative and we're challenged by it, to really consider all the assumptions that we've made about you and all the different ways that we might even be missing you right now. Or maybe for some of us, all the ways that we've rejected you because you haven't showed up the way that we expected for you to. I pray that you would over and over again remind us of your love for us. Would you just draw us in this morning? And anything that is not from you, God, I pray that you just remove that from me right now in this moment. We acknowledge your presence in this room and we thank you for speaking to us. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen, amen. So we've been together now, me and my wife Shayna, for about 14 years. It'll be 14 years for us this year. And as you spend more time together in a relationship, you begin to learn more things about one another and things that they might be really good at, things that they might not be good at. And for me, one of those things that I'm not good at is, for whatever reason, I like to think of myself as a competent person, intellectual, all of that. I cannot seem to figure out the grocery store when my wife sends me to the grocery store. So what we've just learned over time is that what works for us is for her to send me with two things, a list, and because that is typically not enough for me, she will also go and individually text me pictures of the items that I'm supposed to get. And in my defense, I just have to say, they tend to complicate things more than they need to be. Like, things are always like in the wrong place that I think they're supposed to be. And then you show up to like pick up milk, for example. Who knew that there's like 20 different options? There's the 1%, there's the 2.5% milk, there's the whole milk, there's the organic. And I'm just like, I don't even know what any of these things mean, right? And there's so many different things that will confuse me there. And so my wife, out of love for me and out of wanting us to have harmony in our relationship, will send me with a list and a picture of exactly what I'm supposed to get. And sometimes when she knows that I'm gonna have a hard time finding it, will even tell me where in the store it's located, because she wants to communicate clearly to me to help me in that way. And here's what I've come to find about who God is that God communicates clearly to us. Kind of like how Shana does with me. God communicates clearly to us. Take a look at this in verse 2. It says, Jesus said to them, go into a village in front of you. You'll find a donkey there immediately with a colt. Untie them, bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell them the Lord needs it and they'll send them to you at once. So what Jesus is doing here is he is literally like, if he had a cell phone, he would have been texting them a picture exactly of what they're supposed to be looking for, how it's going to go down, because he tells them this, where they're supposed to go, what they're supposed to do, who they're going to run into, when it's going to happen, and exactly what to say, because we serve a God who communicates abundantly clearly to us. And here's what I've come to find is that there are more ways that God communicates clearly to us than there are unclear things about God. Even when you read the scriptures, over and over again, that God is all about revealing himself to us and communicating clear to us. And what we tend to do as Christians is we tend to find those areas that are unclear and we tend to spend so much time on it, don't we? Like, for example, all these different books and movies and whatever's been written about the end times, when is this supposed to happen? Is there a rapture? No rapture. Is there a millennium? Is there no millennium? Is it going to be post-mill, pre-mill? I don't know what's going on. We tend to focus so much time on that. And then we look at things like, well, is it free will or is it predestination? And listen, God is so many clear in so many different ways that we tend to just overlook and focus on the unclear parts. What we need to know about the end times, it doesn't matter how it's going to happen. What we need to know is that Jesus is coming back. Amen. What we know about salvation and how we come into a relationship with him is this, what Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's it, period. And so many different ways that we can just focus on the unclear parts of it. It doesn't matter if it's predestination or free will. What I do know is that every single person who wants to be saved, who wants a relationship with Jesus, has to profess faith in Jesus. And happens because God is pursuing them. And so God is over and over again communicating clearly to us who he is, how he wants to be known. And here's the other thing too, is this, that God communicates clearly, especially when he expects obedience from us. God communicates clearly, especially when he expects obedience from us. I grew up in a household where my parents always said, if you're being punished or disciplined, you're gonna know exactly why. Like saying like, well, I didn't know. Like, that's just not gonna be an excuse in our house. So they made sure that they communicated super clearly. Here are the rules. Curfew is at this time. You can't say, well, I didn't know. No, curfew's at this time. Here's exactly what you do. So when you got disciplined, you knew exactly why you were being disciplined. And it's the same thing with God, that when he communicates to us, he communicates so clearly, especially when he expects obedience from us. He communicates so clearly to us in those moments because he wants for us to actually know who he is and to figure these things out. And Number one, God communicates clearly. Number two, God reveals himself clearly because he wants a relationship with us. He reveals himself clearly because he wants a relationship with us. There's a reason why if you go on the dating apps and different shows or whatever it is, when people are getting to know one another, and maybe even for some of you with relationships or marriages in the room, you spend so much time just asking the other person, what's your favorite color? Tell me about your favorite vacation growing up. Tell me how you grew up. Tell me about your family. All these things, because in that process of revealing who you are to the other person, that is what actually forms the relationship and allows you to have a relationship with somebody. It's the same thing with God. Over and over again, throughout the whole Bible, he continues to reveal who he is so that they might actually know him and experience a relationship with him. And in verse 4, it says here that what Jesus did by asking for the donkey to sit on, to ride into town on the donkey, says it took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. And this is a quote or a reference to Zechariah 9:9, which says this, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, on the foal of a donkey is he." That Jesus, by asking for this donkey to ride into Jerusalem on, was pointing back to the Old Testament and is saying, here I am the Messiah, the one that had been promised hundreds of years ago to come and to save you, because he desires a relationship with him. And in fact, if you read all throughout Matthew, who wrote primarily to a Jewish audience, there are so many different ways that Matthew continues to point to different things that Jesus did to tell them, hey, here he is. This is the Messiah. Look at this thing he did. He was prophesied about hundreds of years ago. Here he is, because God is in this process of self-revelation all the time, because he desires a relationship with us. So when he heals the woman, when he's walking and the woman reaches out and touches his cloak and she's healed immediately, do you know that's a reference to Malachi that says that for those who hope in the Lord, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings? So when she grabs onto the wings of his garment, that she's healed right away. And there are hundreds and hundreds of prophecies like that that Jesus fulfills, because over and over again, God is revealing himself to them. And in fact, in Luke chapter 24, after he rises from the dead, he encounters a couple of disciples that are walking on the road to Emmaus. And he says this, it says that beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures, all the things concerning himself. That we serve a God who wants to reveal himself clearly to you, and he actually wants to reveal himself to you because he desires a relationship with you. And in my life, I've sometimes found this, that I can begin to approach God as if like, man, I hope I say all the right things. I hope I do all the right things. I hope I read my Bible just in the right way, just at the right time, to get to actually know who God is. And can I tell you that we don't have to like bargain with God or beg him to reveal himself to us? He wants to reveal himself to you if you'll seek him. And that should change the way that you read your Bible. It should change the way that you pray. It should change the way that when you're gathering with your rooted group or with your huddle to study God's word, when you're going out to serve, that listen, God wants to reveal himself. He wants to actually reveal himself to you in those moments. That you don't have to beg. You don't have to feel like I've got to do all these right things just right for God to show up in my life and show me who he is. He wants to do that for you. So it should change the way that we approach him. Point number 3. So God communicates clearly to us. God reveals himself clearly to us because he wants a relationship with us. Point number 3. But every single one of us, we have a tendency to make God in our own image. Every single one of us have a tendency to make God in our own image. Take a look at verse 9, what happens in Matthew 21. It says, "And the crowds that went before him and those that followed after him were shouting, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.' And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up." So they began to ask, who is this? Who's this guy? Who's coming into town? All the celebration. And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." Even amongst the crowds, there was different ideas of who Jesus was supposed to be. See, some of them wanted a king like David who would ride into town, establish the kingdom again, restore what used to be once this great nation and who was now living in under Roman rule. They wanted a king. Some of them wanted a prophet who would come, who would speak to the people with such conviction that would cause them to turn back to God. Some people wanted a high priest that would come, like Moses, who would stand before God on behalf of the people and go before God and plead for them and because they wanted different things. Even amongst the crowd, some were saying, no, this is the son of David. No, this is the priest. This is the prophet. And listen, some wanted a king. Some wanted a priest. Others wanted a prophet. Jesus was all the above and more. And yet they missed it because of maybe some of this, the assumptions that they had. Because all of us, if we're being honest a little bit, we tend to make God in our own image. And when we often do that, when we make God in our own image, what we have a tendency to do is to make God out to be less, not more than what he actually is. Because just think about this for a second. In our human, finite minds, how realistically do you really think that it is for us with our human minds that are finite to begin to imagine everything that God actually is? So what we tend to do is we tend to find some of the things that we care about the most or what some of our deepest needs are, and we begin to ascribe that to God, and we just say, well, because I'm living under oppression right now, I am going to make God in my own image, and I expect him to be somebody who's going to come in and rescue me from this and deliver me. That when we make God in our own image, we tend to make him less than what he is, not more than what he is and who he actually is, because our human minds that are finite cannot even begin to grasp all of who our God is. Because he's infinite, he's amazing, he is holy and wonderful, and all these things that we know about him. And I found this in my own life, and this is going to be hard for some of you to hear. And again, no judgment here. I've been there myself as well. But I found this, that some of us, we love the idea of God more than we actually love God. Again, no judgment here. I've had those times in my own life as well before. That we can sometimes begin to love the idea of God more than we actually love God. In the same way that I love the idea of growing in patience more than I actually want to go through the experience that will force me to be patient. In the same way that, oh, I just love. I want to depend on God. I love the idea of depending on God, but I don't realize that for me to actually depend on God, it's going to be the need or the crisis in my life that will lead me to that place of depending on him. Some of us can begin to love the idea of God more than we actually love God. And many of the people in the crowd, man, they love the idea of a Messiah who's going to come in, who's going to rescue them. They wanted a Messiah king, but they rejected the suffering servant that Isaiah speaks of. Because they wanted somebody to come in and meet their own needs, who was going to set them free, establish the kingdom. What they didn't realize that the same Messiah that had been prophesied about was also going to come and be a suffering servant who would lay down his life for the people to offer them eternal life and something that they could never do or never earn on their own. Because they were just focused on, is this the guy who's going to come like David and set us free? And we tend to believe in the version of God that aligns the most with our strongest desires. We tend to believe in the version of God that aligns the most with our strongest desires and what we actually want. And so we make him in our own image in that way. Which is why where I grew up overseas in Africa, the prosperity gospel is such a disease that is just reaping so much harm throughout the entire continent of Africa, because they go to people that are living in third world countries, that are living in poverty, and they preach this gospel to them. You just believe in Jesus. You just give your life to Jesus, and you just do these things, and you just tithe, and you're going to be healthy. You're going to be wealthy. You're going to have all this stuff, because they realize that people are living in poverty, and many of them have a desire to come out of that poverty, and so they use whatever that strongest desire is to sell this version of Jesus that is not the real Jesus, but to sell it to them, because I believe this, that many of us have a tendency to believe in the version of God that most strongly aligns with our strongest desires. Which is the reason why some of us have even believed in the version of Jesus that aligns exactly with all of our political beliefs and who would have voted the same way that we would vote. And we have to allow for God to actually show us who he is. And in the same way that maybe it's the prosperity gospel in Africa, but we also here tend to have the same version of the gospel or of Jesus that we want to believe in. That some of you, maybe even in the room right now, the version of the gospel that was presented to you was, well, you just give your life to Jesus and all your problems are going to go away. How's that working out for you? that you give your life to Jesus and you still find, man, I'm still having issues in my marriage and I'm still battling addiction and sins in my own life and I still have some needs and all these things that begin to happen because somebody sold you a version of Jesus that you believed in that just aligned mostly with your strongest desires that you have. But it's not the real Jesus. And because they were so focused on their strongest desires, they completely missed that God had come in the flesh, was standing in front of them, riding into town, and they received that version of Jesus. But when he began to teach them, when he began to talk about how he would suffer and be crucified for them, many of them said, yeah, let him be crucified. Because it didn't align with the strongest desires in their own hearts. And when we believe that version of Jesus that is simply one that gives you everything that you need, that just gives you all your desires, that leads to some of the deepest disappointments that you're going to go through in life. So can I ask you this? What version of God or what version of Jesus do you actually believe in? Is it one who just lives to serve you? Like a genie in the sky who just gives you whatever you want? Does everything that you expect for him to do? Or are you allowing him to actually show you who he actually is? Which version of God or of Jesus do you actually believe in? It's important that we realize as we seek to know God, as he wants to reveal himself to us, it's important that we realize this, that God is not who I think he is. God is who he tells me he is. God is not who I think he is. God is who he tells me he actually is. And so many of us just make God in our own image, assume that we know who he is, but he actually wants to tell us and reveal to us clearly who he is. In the rest of that interview with Kanye, who said, I have my issues with Jesus. Because I prayed for some things that I was going through and he just didn't show up for me the way that I wanted for him to show up to me. Kanye goes on to say this, that because Jesus didn't show up for him the way that he thought he was supposed to, he said, I just took matters into my own hands and made it happen for myself. I used my own experiences, my own knowledge, my own power, my own connections to get me out of the situation that I was in and to make it through what I was going through. And he says this, because I'm God. And anyone that disagrees, I'm the God of me. You can't tell me who I am. I am the God of me. And many of us maybe might not be as outrageous or as bold as Kanye is in making that statement. But here's what I do find is that many of us, when we believe in a version of Jesus that isn't truly who he is, and he doesn't meet some of our needs and desires and expectations that we have of him, many of us do have a tendency to actually reject who he is and to reject God. And some of you are maybe even in the room right now, or you're listening online. And the reason why you've walked away from God, or you've turned your back on God, or right now, your relationship with God, there's just distance, there's coldness there, is because God didn't do something that you expected for him to do. So like Kanye and many others, you decided to turn your back on God and to reject him, rather than receiving him for who he really is. What he wants to show you about who he is. The crowd rejected Jesus because of the assumptions that they had about God. And so can I ask you this? What are some of the assumptions that you are making about God in your own life? And maybe in the situations that you're going through. Are you putting expectations on God? Timelines on God? Yeah, like I expect God to do this thing in my life. I expect him to provide a spouse for me or even kids for me. And I expect it to do it on this timeline because it fits really well with my 10-year plan that I've made for my life. What are some of the expectations and assumptions that you're making about God in your own life? How are you expecting him to show up and to act for you? Is it just according to the way that you expect for him to do it? Or can I ask you this? Or are you willing to trust God even when he doesn't meet your expectations? Are you willing to trust him then, even when he doesn't meet your expectations? Like he might not be giving you the job the way that you had wanted for him to give it to you. But think about this. What if he has you in the season in your life of waiting and interviewing for jobs and all these things, and he's not allowing for you to get the job right now, for you to experience this, that even in the midst of unemployment, he can provide for you in ways that you never thought possible? What if maybe the situation in your life that you've been praying for him to get you out of right now, he still has you in that situation so that you would just learn how to depend on him? Are you willing to trust God even when he doesn't meet your expectations? And so many times in my own life, I've tended to place expectations on God. Like, God, I just expect you to do this thing for me or do that thing for me. And in those times when he hasn't done it the way that I expected for him to do it, I've always had a choice, and every single one of us have a choice. Are you going to choose to still lean in, to still choose to trust even when you don't see it, even when it doesn't make sense? Or are you going to choose to, like maybe Kanye or others before him, choose to reject God and just say, that's not the version of God that I believe in. That's not what I expected him to do. And so I'm going to choose to reject him and walk away from God. Are you willing to trust God even when it doesn't make sense for you? That maybe some of you are in a situation right now and he hasn't granted whatever the desire is, whatever the thing is in your life that you've been praying for. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's children you've been praying for. Maybe it's just a solution to whatever need you have in your life. And he hasn't given that to you, and he has you in the place that he has you right now because he wants to teach you in the midst of that, that even when you don't have those things that you so desperately want and you might even need in life, that he alone is enough for you. That like Paul, that his grace is sufficient for you no matter what you go through. No matter what you can be praying and you can be asking about. And for some of you right now in your life, you might be walking through a storm in this life. And you're just wondering, when is this ever going to end? Why isn't God showing up in the midst of the storm and rescuing me out of it? And listen, maybe he has you in that storm that you're walking through right now so that even in the midst of the storm, when the winds and the waves are raging, that you might discover he is the firm foundation that you can stand on. And some of you might be walking through a season right now where he's allowed you to go through the fire. And you might not know this, but what he wants to reveal himself to you in that moment, show you who he is that even when you walk in the fire, he promises to be the fourth man in the fire for you. That as the old hymn says that even though you walk through the fire, man, the flames shall not hurt you. They shall not consume you because God has only designed that fire to refine you so that on the other side of it, your faith comes out even more pure, even better than gold. And he has you walking through that fire right now so that you would discover that. But listen, when we begin to make assumptions about who God is and we don't allow God to be God, we can miss out on so many things that he wants to do, just like the crowd who had assumptions about him ended up missing the fact that Jesus was standing right there. God himself was right there in front of them and they completely missed it because of all the assumptions that they made. So can I ask you this, church, can we just allow for God to be God and to show us who he actually is? And to receive him and to say, God, I might not know what you're doing right now in the situation that I'm walking through. But here's what I do know is that you love me and that you've said in your word, as he tells us, you will never leave me, you will never forsake me. So I'm going to choose to hold on to you even when it doesn't make sense. Still going to choose to trust you anyways, even when you're not meeting my expectations. Pray with me. Father, we just pause right now. We just again thank you for who you are. God, I don't know the person listening to this in the room right now who might be walking through an incredibly difficult situation right now. And in the same way, like the crowds back in the day, that we can find ourselves in these situations where we can just turn to you and we're just crying out for your help, for you to step in, to do something about our situations. And sometimes the way that you show up is not the way that we expected you to show up. Just like the crowd that didn't expect for Jesus to come and to be this humble servant who would go to the cross, who would lay down his life for them. But yet, who he was and so much more was exactly what they needed. And God, for that person going through that situation right now, would you remind them today that you are exactly what they need in the midst of their situation? That they would learn to trust you. That they would learn to take you at your word. That they would allow you, God, to be who you are. And to teach them something through this trial that they're going through. And for us as a people, God, I pray that as we enter into this Easter season, that we would remember what you've done for us through Jesus, the sacrifice that he made on our behalf. That because you didn't withhold your own son, that you offered him up for us. God, Paul says, would you also not along with that graciously give us all things that we need, and we would just trust you in the midst of that. Believing that you're the kind of God that takes even the bad, the good, and the ugly, and all the things in our lives that can happen to us, and you turn it for our good and for your glory. So God, we choose today to trust you, to receive you, our King, and we worship you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.